A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Are you PNLP? This is the Premier Non-League Podcast.
We're back again at long last after a little mini Easter break. It's episode 65 of the Premier Non-League Podcast in association with Tackle This Together. We're a little bit depleted this evening once again. Gaz is blaming a power cut for his part-time antics. James is very part-time away on holiday somewhere. And Pete's in the corner, but Pete's got issues apparently. So Pete might be here later. So at the moment, it's just me and Chris. How are you, Chris?
I'm very well indeed, thanks, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good. Had a busy few weeks as always. It's come to the business end of the season, hasn't it? Plenty for us to talk about this evening.
Oh, so much.
But we'll start on a little bit of a, not quite a sour note, but a little bit of a sad note. On Saturday, on the return journey from Tamworth for South Shield fans from their National League North game, their minibus was involved in a bit of an accident and flipped a few times and turned over on the, was it the A1, Chris? Or the M1?
Yeah, the A1M near Doncaster. It was a shock to us. We'd left them at the ground and then obviously less than 2 hours later, I mean, there were moments where we thought there may well have been at least one fatality, because Ronnie was talking to, had managed to contact two of the people who were on the bus, and obviously they were in a state of shock, and it was difficult for them to express what was going on. But we feared the worst. Thankfully, and miraculously, no one has been killed. No one has been very seriously hurt. There are some serious injuries, but not life-threatening. Mixtures of fractured sternum, broken ribs, cuts, bruises, facial injuries. But if you look at the footage, it is a miracle no one was killed. And it just kind of reminds you just how precious life is, I guess. I don't want to sound over the top or melodramatic, but, you know, that could have ended up a whole lot worse. People were being thrown out of the vehicle and then just literally dusting themselves down for not, you know, absolutely remarkable how no one was hurt. So our obvious best, people are on the mend. This is Monday night. Three are still in hospital. Hopefully they shall be home in the next 2 to 5 days, if not quicker for one or two. Some of those guys will be, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be at the game, the final game of the season on Saturday. So it could have been a whole lot worse.
Absolutely, Chris. And as, just to reiterate, as Chris said, all our best wishes to those involved from us at the PNLP, and hopefully everyone's on the mend very soon. We're at the busiest end of the season, aren't we? We're not too far away from the end. Some finish this weekend and some the weekend after. But as we're at that end of the season, it's very apt to get someone onto the show that's won a title. Not quite won a title himself, but more his club. Ben Fleet FC, who, excuse me, a long and industrious history, but only at one level. And this season, they've managed to win the Thurlough Nunn Division 1 South title with, I think, a couple of games to spare. And we're joined this evening by the chairman, Dan Wright. Dan, thanks very much for joining us on the Premier Non-League podcast.
Hi, Trevor. Thank you for having us. Really, really appreciate you having us on.
Mate, well, welcome. It's quite a little bit of a story, isn't there, into your club? You've never played above Step 6, have you?
We haven't, no. So we only joined the non-league pyramid 5 seasons ago. So 2018, we managed to get a promotion into the non-league pyramid for the first time, which itself was absolutely incredible for us. We've spent the last 5 years really just being absolutely giddy that we're even in the non-league system. So the idea that we're actually climbing up it is just extraordinary, really.
Now, as well, you weren't originally involved in the club before 5 years ago, were you? So how did that come about? I mean, we all know, we all go and watch a game, and all of a sudden someone says, could you just do this? And then, like, 4 or 5 years later, you're actually running the club, aren't you?
Yeah, that's it really. So a little bit of that, to be fair. I follow non-league football quite closely. I've been involved with some other non-league clubs before. I moved to Benfleet. My kids were getting into football, so I went down to have a look, and I said, can I help? Is there anything, any support that you need at the club? The chairman at the time sort of sighed and said, "We're in a bit of trouble, in truth. We've had a fairly long-winded battle with the council over our lease. The club has a lovely sort of big playing area with a clubhouse and and a bar and all that. They'd had a 10-year battle with the council. They had an eviction notice that expired the following month. They had no money in the bank. They were in deep trouble, really. So had a few chats with the chairman. We agreed sort of a plan of action, which was largely that I would start to sort of take things on a little bit more. And through, I guess a bit of perseverance and engagement with some of the local councillors, we managed to turn that around, get ourselves a new lease, get some grant funding to carry us through to the end of the season. And I suppose the rest is really, as you mentioned.
It's history. Now, just as you come in as well, obviously the pandemic then hit, didn't it? Just after that. So, I mean, there must have been some pretty tough times for a club at step six level, because obviously the money does not filter all that way down, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it's interesting, really, because if you sort of take what I've just said in context, the club was kind of already in a lockdown of sorts, if that makes sense, because we were already not operating, because essentially because we had no teams left and no money, really. So for us, actually, the pandemic didn't really change much, but it did give us an opportunity to properly rebuild. And by the summer, so by the time that the first wave had sort of subsided and the first lockdown had gone, we'd managed to attract a number of community teams, and so we were really quite ready for the summer. We had a good summer, which carried us through sort of lockdown two, if you like, and were able to sort of keep building from there.
And the club at the moment shares at Canvey Island, is that right?
We do, yeah. So when we joined the non-league system in 2018, we took on a ground share with Canvey in order to meet the ground requirements to play in the non-league system. And one of the first things that I started when I joined in 2019 was to kick off the process of trying to get permission and all the right legals in place to get a stadium in Benfleet at Woodside Park, where we play. After sort of 5 years of working at it, I suppose, we finally got some movement middle of last year, and that's really progressing as well.
Okay, we'll come to that in a second. Let's talk about this season and the promotion. Was it something that, I mean, every club at the start of the season aims to win the league, aims to get promoted in that. But, realistically, did you look at the league and think, well, we might have a chance here, but if we haven't and we get on a crest of a wave, let's go with it.
So, in truth, I mean, at the start of the season, we would have been absolutely delighted to make the playoffs. We have no budget as
Hello.
as a
Hello,
team.
Pete. Join in.
Do you want me to start that answer again, or just
Yeah,
keep going?
no, just keep going. Go on. Fine.
So we have no budget as a team. Our players sort of play for the love of it. They're all volunteers like the rest of us at the club. And they are an incredibly talented group of players, but all the same, as you can imagine, in a league where some teams have, £1,000 a week plus budget, we felt it was probably unlikely that we were actually going to go and win the league. We had nearly made the playoffs the year before. We'd managed to make the playoffs the year before that and lost in the semi-final. So we were never sort of miles and miles away, but equally, yeah, the idea that we could win the league was probably stretching it somewhat, I think, at the start of the season.
And you've done it, is it with 2 games to spare?
We have. We got 100 points with two to play
Wow.
for.
Brilliant.
It has just been an incredible season, just unbelievable.
Of course, as we alluded to in the messages that we've sent beforehand between us and the club that it's the FA Cup for you next year. For the first time ever, Ben Fleet are going to appear against that magical symbol.
It's absolutely unbelievable. Funny enough, that is the single sort of nugget that I always try and share with people, particularly people who aren't sort of, you know, I guess as into the non-league, say, as I am or as we are. That's always the bit that I try and sort of highlight. You know, this is really the difference now next season. Step six to step five means that rather than going into a raffle where you have sort of a one in, I mean, I don't even know, 1 in 20, 1 in 30 yeah. chance of getting in, we are now guaranteed FA Cup football every single season at what will be our new stadium. Sorry to keep plugging the new stadium. I know you said that we'll come back to that. But, you know, it's just incredible, really. I know I keep using that word, but it, you know, it is it's remarkable that a club like Benfleet could be playing in the FA Cup every season.
Absolutely. Have you had a sort of little look towards the Thurlow Nunn division and the sort of places you'd be heading towards and that next year as well yet?
We have. So we're moving into the Essex Senior League, right. Which is our sort of nearest step five.
Yeah.
We do know a lot of the clubs in the Essex Senior League, as you can imagine. We sort of end up playing them in the FA Vars, or, you know, we pick up players who have come from them. There's also a lot of movement between the divisions. So a lot of clubs from the Thurlow Nunn, you know, that have gone up in the last 3 or 4 years are currently sitting in the Essex Senior League. So we do kind of know the league, not really well, but we know roughly what we're getting into. It will be a better standard, obviously. There are some really good clubs in there, but we can't wait.
Absolutely. So getting on to the new stadium then, is that going to be ready for next season?
It certainly should be, barring any, you know, real left field disasters at this point. I think we started work at the beginning of the year. We are probably about 60-70% of the way through. It's one of them where sort of to look at, you wouldn't think that we were that far through, because, you know, we've got all the bases dug and, you know, all the sort of things ready to go in. The last little bits are probably the bigger bits, like the stand that drops in and the floodlights that, you know, that yeah. go up. But yeah, I think, like I say, barring any real disasters, we should be ready well in time for next season, which is, yeah, which again is, yeah, it is just so exciting for our little football club.
Brilliant. So what sort of crowds have you sort of had at Canby, and what are you sort of expecting when you move back to Benfleet?
You know, this is one of the most sort of exciting things about this year is we've gone from, so when I started, say, in 2019, a standard home game was probably about 10, 15 people would turn up to watch. You know, on a bad day, you might only get 3 or 4. On a good day, you might get sort of 30. This season, we've been averaging 70, 80 people coming. You know, we had a midweek game last week against a team from London that never really bring any fans. And we managed to get almost 100 people through the gate. Right. So it's an incredible sort of platform to then bring the club back to our home in Benfleet. And hopefully we can really kick on and start to get sort of 100 plus per week. That's what we're aiming for. That would be the sort of numbers that would allow us to look at how we might move the club forward again. I'm not sort of getting ahead of us, but, you know, obviously at some point we would like to make a push for the next step in the future. And if we can really start to sort of consolidate attendances and, you know, get into the three figures, that would be a bit of a game changer for us.
And obviously for those people that don't know the area around Benfleet, what have you got in terms of rivals around you at step five and maybe at step four?
So in terms of the nearest football clubs, Canvey is probably the nearest football club to us. Beyond that, you've got the likes of Concord, who also play on Canvey Island, Concord Rangers, Basildon United, Southend, Manor. Obviously, Southend United also play in the National League system these days. So there are a few non-league clubs around, but none in Benfleet, right? So Benfleet has never had its own non-league football club. So we think, and I guess we're obviously really biased at this because we spend a lot of our time and a lot of our lives sort of working on it. But we think it's an incredible thing for the local area to have its own, you know, proper non-league football club playing in the FA Cup, like we said before. And so much of our club, you know, so many of the members of our club that play in the youth and the community section live, say, within walking distance of the stadium. So they can now come down and have a drink, you know, they can come down and enjoy themselves, watch a bit of football, bring the kids, you know, it's a nice family day out. We're a proper community football club. So, you know, hopefully really exciting times ahead.
Brilliant stuff. And you've got, I think you've got quite a thriving youth section already, haven't you?
We do. So we are a community football club at our core. You know, we were an amateur football club for 96 years before we moved into the non-league system. And one thing that we are, you know, me and the committee are extremely, extremely hot on is making sure that we retain that community base. Our youth teams, we've got about 20, probably about 22, 23 now. And we do have a real good base across the community, which we hope is a real good platform to sort of bring into that senior section and try and link the two together.
Brilliant. It's lovely to have such a really feel good story. I think on the pod, you know, at every level, there's some great things going on. And you've obviously got, you know, a lot that's happening for you in the right way. And hopefully, Dan, it's going to continue and push you on to step five as well. So congratulations on winning the title this year. Good luck in the FA Cup next year. And we'll be keeping a little eye out to see how well you get on.
Please do. And thank you so much for having us on. Really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, a great little story that is, Chris, as well. You know, a club that's, you know, down in step six, never got a promotion. I know they've only been going really in the system for 5 years, but you know, when you look at the story of Dorking Wanderers, where they came from, not saying Ben Fleet are going to do the same thing, but nice to have those stories out there, isn't it?
It gives you a feel good. And of course, if what Dan was saying, we can try and get crowds of like three-figure crowds at that level in this day and age is terrific. It could only get better. Have 20-odd junior teams. I think, you know, give it 5 or 6 years and how many of those juniors could then play senior football for Benfleet?
Yeah.
Which means that they can retain almost that amateur status, even though they become like almost semi-professional. You retain that club core. It can only be great for the area. It's a great story. And it's stories like that that keep me interested in non-league as well. And it gives you something else to look out for rather than just looking out for South Shields or whoever. It's great to hear these stories. That's brilliant.
Absolutely. While we're on the subject of clubs doing well, we'll say congratulations to all the sides that have won titles so far with games to spare. I'm not going to name them all because we'd be here all day and we've only got an hour that we're going to try and fill, so rather than two. But congratulations to all of those on titles. Is the National League finishes this weekend. Everyone else, I think, is into the following weekend onto the 27th. So more titles, relegations and commiserations will be flying our way in 2 weeks' time as well. At the same time, we've had the FA Vars and trophy finalists are now announced. And the trophy, Gateshead heading back to Wembley again for the second year in a row to take on Solihull Moors. And in the Vars, we've got an all-Essex affair with Romford taking on Great Wakering Rovers, who had a delayed semi-final at the weekend when they beat Worcester City on penalties to get through. Chris, what's your thoughts on Gateshead getting back again and they're in the playoff race still in the National League?
Yeah, they've clearly focused on both fronts. And I don't know how they do it, to be honest. You know, with such a relatively small fan base, to be full-time in the National League, to do that, to go on both fronts and be so successful, I really don't know how it's a fantastic job that Mike Williamson started and now Rob Elliott's continuing. There's a guy at Gates, I'm going to name him Louis Story, who former South Shields player, actually. And he's been, I think, instrumental in Gateshead's success, a terrific footballer and a good lad, a really good bloke. He's been part of the Gateshead story. Prior to that, he'd been at Hebburn and South Shields, and players like him are worth their weight in gold. And I can see them winning the trophy. I think I mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago that, Gateshead are very much... It's going to be a tough one to call, Solihull. Mm. Mark Carruthers said the other week that the Solihull were the best team he'd seen at the International Stadium thus far at that stage in the season. So it's going to be a great game. I'm going to tip Gateshead. I've tipped them more or less all the way through. And I'm not going to change now. As for the Vars, I don't know enough about either team, other than the fact that I know more about Romford than their opponents. But I couldn't pick that one.
No, that's the first last time an Essex league side won the title was in 1984 when Stansted won it. So they're going to pick up a win. That's it. 40 years, isn't it? 40 years ago.
Yeah, 40 years.
Yeah, so 40 years ago, last Essex winner. So non-league finals day, Saturday the 11th of May. It's on a Saturday this year, with everything else being played at Wembley as well. It's had a little shunt forward, so I will still be there. Because it's a great day out for £25, providing the tickets are the same price. Can't grumble for that. So hopefully two great games will get going on there as well. So as we mentioned a slightly bit earlier, the National League concludes this weekend. In the North, Chris, it's fantastic. Cool. I mean, bar one midweek game, everyone's on 45. The table looks so symmetrical when I picked up the non-league paper yesterday. Mm. It was lovely, and I'm looking at the other divisions, and I've got like teams up here on games and teams down there on games.
There is a symmetry of the north. There is that symmetrical look.
There is. Well, we'll start off in the top division, and obviously Chesterfield won the title while we were on our Easter break and maybe a little bit before, but they've had a little bit of beach time since then, haven't they? Because they haven't won a game.
Yeah. Which, and why not? I guess, you know, they've done what they set out to do. So the only worry is if when you take your foot off the gas, if you're not quite at it, are you susceptible to injuries? Because if you're not going into challenges the way you would normally go, we're always told if you go in hard, you won't get hurt. Not that I'm suggesting that Chesterfield aren't going in as hard as they were, but I just guess, you know, when you're not quite at it, there is that worry, but clearly they've done what they set out to do, and on fair play to them.
Absolutely. And Barnet have secured a top three finish. As we record this evening, Gateshead are playing at home to Chesterfield. I forgot actually that one had been rearranged in for tonight. But
yeah, Gateshead are playing Monday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Yeah, it's currently Gateshead 2, Chesterfield 0. So Chesterfield are still on the beach. Yeah.
Yes,
and that gives Gateshead a good chance of two penalties are given away as well, so they are really on the beach. So that gives that'll give Gateshead a little chance of catching Bromley in third place. Although Bromley have a midweek game as well this week away at Oxford City, so that may well shore up third place for them. The playoffs, Altrincham and Solihull are in to the eliminators. Gateshead, if they win tonight, will definitely put them in. And should Halifax beat Ebbsfleet on Tuesday evening, Halifax will be in and the rest will be sitting outside. But the fun, Chris, again, is still at the bottom of that table. And I posted up on Twitter this afternoon, actually. I just took a little screenshot of the bottom bit. And I said to people a few months ago, 52 points, you'll need to stay up.
Yes.
And people were going, nah, really? And I'm like, yeah. So do you look at that bottom bit? I said, that will be the minimum at least. Normally 50 is your benchmark.
Yeah.
Now, 21st at the moment, ahead of the midweek games, Boreham would have sitting on 50 points with two games to play.
Yes.
There's a good chance that somebody's actually going to go down with that 52 points that I thought was safe about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Now, the question I'm going to ask you, Chris, is do you look at it as the league's more competitive because sides are taking points off of each other, or the standards that much lower than it has been in the past?
I don't think it's really got anything to do with standards. I think it is more competitive. When you've had your Wrexhams, your Chesterfields, your Notts Counties, who are, you know, clearly with bigger budgets and bigger fish to fry sort of thing, it makes the rest of your league much more competitive because a lot of other clubs have got similar budgets. I'm not saying the same, but, you know, not vast differences in budget. It's a bit like you could look at the Premier League. If you look at the top six or whatever, if you look at the, or even the top three, If you look at the rest of the league, it is a competitive league if you look at it from that kind of angle. I don't think it's a drop in standard. I think it is more competitive, which is what you want. You don't want the top flying away and then the bottom being cast adrift. So if you look at the National League North and South, there's still so much to play for going into the final weekend. Isn't that what it's about? Isn't that what you want?
Absolutely.
I'm not a one for standards dropping. I personally think it is more competitive. And long may that continue. If we can get clubs, you know, like I've said it before, you know, your Wrexhams, Chesterfield, Notts Counties, your historic Football League clubs who've got these bigger budgets, get them back in the Football League, if you like, and make the National League and the North and South a bit more of a level playing field. You're always going to get clubs with massive budgets coming along at some point as people invest. But on the whole, if you're going to have that competitive element, then it's going to make for much better seasons.
Absolutely. I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask who's going to go down, because someone asked me that very question today, and I said, ask me again on Wednesday when the biggest round of midweek matches is gone, and then that picture becomes ever so much clearer. But like you say, very exciting, Dan. So we head off to the National League North. Tamworth have obviously won the league a couple of weeks ago while we were on our Easter hiatus. Scunthorpe have got themselves the second, and it's Brackley or Chorley the third. Then Alfreton and Curzon have got in, and ahead of the midweek only game of Boston against Banbury, South Shields hold the final spot, don't they, Chris? But it's not as clean cut as that, is it?
It's not. No, Boston, if they beat Banbury, which they should, Boston leapfrog South Shields, which means you go to the last, so it's out of South Shields' hands now. You're hoping that Boston kind of drop points somewhere. Now, I can't see them dropping points against Banbury, but they've got Hereford on Saturday, who themselves could get into the playoffs. So that is a real mouth-watering, you know, if you could stream a game on a Saturday, that would be the one to stream, Boston-Hereford. And at the bottom, Darlington secured safety on Saturday by beating Farsley. And Farsley, I think they are going to go on the basis that they have to better Blythe's result on Saturday. But Farsley are in such a free fall. And what I've read in and around social media, etc., is that all isn't well at Farsley. The manager, Clayton Donaldson's been very quiet in the last 2 or 3 weeks. Not much in terms of interviews, post-matches. Seems to be a bit of something's not right. And for them to try and get a result on Saturday with that in the background, it looks very difficult for them. Blythe might just stay up by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, it will be literally that, isn't it? I think what's quite telling, Chris, in that division, obviously Banbury, Gloucester and Bishops have already relegated, is if you take Gloucester out of the equation, the other three sides have scored less than 40 goals this season, which is staggering when Blythe, who are just above the drop line, have hit 65. They might have conceded 77, but
yes,
they can find the back of the net. But
that's, you know, league tables don't lie with a week to go. If you look at Tamworth, who up before Saturday had conceded 27 goals in 44 games, you know, you win the league.
Absolutely.
You score 40 goals in 44 games, you're going to get relegated. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not far wrong on that. So moving into the National League South, Yeovil obviously confirmed as the champions and heading up, but underneath them, there's four sides that can finish second and third, including Pete and James's very own Worthing, who will extend some congratulations to for scoring 100 league goals so far this year, and only Chesterfield have bettered that in the top three divisions. So that's absolute credit to them. And I don't know if you've been watching, Chris, but Worthing have really come back into some form under Aaron Ruttine in the last few weeks.
Yeah, they're scoring goals again. Ollie Pearce is now at 39, I think.
Yeah.
So out of 100 goals, he scored 39 of them, which is a fantastic achievement. But also it shows that they get goals all over, because there's another 61 goals somewhere from other parts of the field. I watched them on TNT Sports the other week, and they look well organised. I think they've just gone through a bit of a patch there, and they've just regrouped.
Yeah.
Aaron has done a good job there. And it's all about momentum, isn't it? You go into playoffs with momentum. It's half the battle. You've got confidence. And clearly, you know, they scored more goals on Saturday. They're in a good place. Who's to say they couldn't go all the way? I'm not going to commentators curse them, but there's nothing stopping them. There's nothing. When you're capable of scoring so many goals, you've always got a chance.
Absolutely, yeah. I think we've put enough commentators curse on clubs this season, so we better not do it. We even did it to Worthing, didn't we?
We did.
And I think as well, Maidstone United are in very good form as well, at the same time as Worthing. But any two from Chelmsford, Worthing, Braintree and Maidstone are going to take those top two positions, and it literally between those clubs is all coming down to Saturday afternoon. Bath are also in good their playoff place. The last place is between Hampton and Richmond Borough. Averley and Farnborough have a very slight chance, but Hampton play midweek, which if they win will secure their place, and that would be it for the rest. But the bottom, again, like the National League itself, is the slightly interesting part. I was at Havant Dartford a couple of weeks ago, and Dartford gave themselves a shot in the arm of beating Havant, and then lost at the weekend to Yeovil, which sent them down. And Taunton are in the bottom four, but fighting for their lives still, as are Truro, both with three games to play this week. Truro have had a mammoth schedule in the last couple of weeks, but they're almost there. But the side that's probably picked up and surprised a few has been Eastbourne Borough, who have been in the bottom four for a good majority of this year, and they're now 3 points clear of the drop zone, but head to Truro on Tuesday night. And if they win that one, that will give them 51 points and put some daylight between themselves, Taunton, Torquay, and Hemel as well. I can't call who's going down in that one either. Not with his games in hand.
No. If you mentioned Eastbourne Borough there.
Yeah.
Similarly to what Darlington have done in the north, you know, Darlington at one point, I think, were 14 points adrift. And if you see what they've done since Christmas, been a tremendous run. And also, you mentioned Averley before. If Averley can get a playoff place, it's a reasonable reward when you consider the start to the season they had. Obviously, remember, they topped the division, I think.
Yeah.
In September. So if they can get that playoff spot, at least it'll be some kind of achievement and consolation for them. But all the people, Saturday is going to be one of those days where everyone's going to be on, you know, web pages or FOTMOB or you know, and you're just going to be constantly looking, and it's going to change.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's I think the one difficult thing, as I mentioned earlier, the National League North is so almost compliant with everyone on 45 bar that one midweek game between Boston and Banbury. But where you've got so many National League games this week and National League South games, you can't get a true reflection of whether come Saturday, Taunton are only going to need 3 points or a point to stay up, and Truro are still in the mess because Eastbourne and Torquay have won games in hand, and Truro and Taunton have as well to only be 3 points behind them. It's just, you know, such a difficult bit to call there. But I think the only other club I'd pick out from there as well, the who were dead and buried till they changed managers, was Welling United. The job Rod Stringer and Kevin Watson have done there at Parkview Road's been absolutely amazing. They secured safety at the weekend with a 0-0 draw against Weymouth. And it does show that the new manager bounce does work. It's happened in the National League, but a couple of clubs have managed to kind of fall away a little bit from that and not rebounced again.
Yeah, you look at the bounce. I mean, York City, for instance. You know, good managers don't become bad managers overnight. And sometimes it's a new manager comes in, and it's the hand that you are dealt. And if you've got a reasonable level of ability in your squad, and you are a good manager, then you've got half a chance. And clearly, it's proven. Clearly.
And a reminder, it's 12:15 kickoff in the National League on Saturday for the top division and 3 p.m. for the North and South. So don't try and tune into your game at 3 o'clock and find out the results already been played out and your team's been relegated. So just a little reminder, make sure you listen to this as well before Saturday morning. Here we go. One of the things we picked up on in the National League paper at the weekend, which was very interesting, is a pair of Bitcoin brothers investing into however you call them, Bedford. They've obviously had a lot of publicity with Peter McCormack. What's our thoughts on Bitcoin and crypto? And Pete, you're a bit of a crypto specialist, aren't you? So let's come to you, shall we?
I wouldn't say a specialist.
a novice.
A novice. I ain't got a problem with it. It's just like the normal stock market, basically. People are trading in crypto these days, so if you can make a few bob on it, then fair play to you.
How do you think it works in football, though?
But I don't see an issue. It's like anything. I've got crypto, and I've got a normal bank card, and I can spend my crypto over any accounts from any shop in this country. So you can use it like normal currency.
Interesting.
It's not like a...
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You know, I just think he probably gets a bad name in some circles. And obviously, if the price goes down, like it's took a hit today, and obviously what you've got in Bitcoin isn't worth as much as it was yesterday. So, yeah, it's just
simple stock market rules, I think if I read right, there isn't Bitcoin at its highest level at the moment that it has been value-wise for a long time.
No, it's took a bit of a hit.
Has it?
It's basically because Bitcoin halving is happening next week, where there won't be as many Bitcoins for people to mine through their computers and stuff.
Right.
So there won't be as much available. So, but what usually happens after that is there is a bounce in the price, but beforehand it always tends to go down a bit. So keep in peel for next week. Could be worth it
for next week. Christ, I've already got my eyes on enough stuff. I can't spare even a quarter of an eye to look at that. But do we think it's going to become a bit more commonplace? We've seen it in Crawley, haven't we, with what happened there? Although that's taken, while the team's done well on the pitch, it's taken a bit of a dive off of it. You know, do we see it as a big thing that's going to start to happen in non-league, especially to try and elevate clubs higher up the pyramid?
It probably will. Like I say, it's getting more and more accepted as legitimate currencies in certain countries. So there's a lot of rules over here about it. But you know, in like America, it's pretty well much adopted as another form of currency. So I don't see why it's not going to translate everywhere else. So I've got no.
I think as long as it's. Yeah, I've got no beef with it. As long as it's, you know, again, investment with thought, and it's not just mindless throwing money at something. No matter what currency it is.
Yeah, I think the other thing is crypto in the early days did get a bad name because there was sites like Silk Road that were selling all illegal drugs, and you could buy anything off there. You could buy guns, rocket launchers, and it was. And launder money. You know, crypto is known for being able to launder your money through, but because it's decentralized, so you haven't got it's not ruled by the Bank of England or anything like that. They haven't got the same regulations. But yeah, I think it'll change and it'll become more and more accepted. Remember, it's only what 15, 20 years old, if that.
Yeah,
so it's not, you know, it's not that old, and obviously with something new coming in, it takes time for it to establish itself, get accepted by the major financial bodies. But as time goes on, I think it will be more accepted.
Brilliant. While we're on the subject of money in and money out, what's the latest on the Shields takeover, Chris?
No idea.
That wasn't the answer I wanted. Try again.
Yeah, well, I got a message off of a friend who said that, you know, the announcement was imminent, but that was 2.5 weeks ago, and 2.5 weeks later, nothing. I mean, obviously, this is Monday night. Who knows? By the time this comes out, it could all be announced. Who knows? I was informed that it's Teammate, which is a sports management company. Based in Ohio, but they also have another one or two other addresses, and they manage sports people and also invest in other sporting concerns, particularly those with good community links and youth links, etc. And one of their major shareholders is Roger Federer. So that was what we were led to believe. And so here we are, still no further forward. Who knows? It could be further forward. Who knows? But there's been no official announcement since we last got together.
Okay. We'll keep our eyes on that one. Well, we know Rochdale have had a couple of local owners come forward and I think taken away the American interest from there, from the sounds of things. So they looks like theirs will be done for the start of next season as well. So hopefully they'll be in a better place in the National League to have a good push for promotion. One of the other things I wanted to chat about, because it's been quite a debate, especially in the last few weeks with the weather and the dates of the season finishing. As we mentioned earlier, the National League finish this weekend and the rest of the steps underneath, I think, are maybe the Southern League, although I think they may be the 27th, are all finishing on the 27th. Now, the National League final itself takes place at Wembley, which would normally be sometime in the middle of May, with the non-league finals day coming up the weekend after. Now, the Champions League final being at Wembley, I think the first weekend of June, the EFL have managed to take up 2 weekends for their playoff finals, which has shunted everything down the line and brought a finish date of the 20th of April. But we've got sides playing 4 times this week to fit their games in. We've had sides playing 5 times over 7 days. What's gone on? What can change next year to make it not such a rushed end to the season?
Okay, so then...
Yep. One at a time.
Yeah. Sorry, top load the front end of the season.
If we go down a little bit further, sorry, Chris. If we go down a little bit further, because obviously the top three divisions that we play in are predominantly a full-time division. And if you look at the fixture, levels for most clubs, they haven't suffered. We've had the Truros, the Tauntons, we've had Gateshead this week and Halifax having struggles. But when you go down to your step fours and fives, where they've got 20, 24 clubs in a division, and that part-time players still at that level, should there be less games for them in their division? And as you move up, you expect to play 20s and 24s in your league, just to try and alleviate some of the pressure?
Perhaps, but the Trident leagues, they don't start until a week after the National League. Yeah. So that's a one thing, bring it forward. Bring their season forward in line with the National League. And as Pete says, top load, August, September, October. There's no reason why you can't do that. Also, I do think referees need to, how should I put this? Not be so precious. Well, they need to be a little bit less precious. I saw a referee do a pitch inspection. It was filmed. And because a ball didn't bounce in two patches of a pitch, he called the game off. Now, everywhere else on the pitch was absolutely fine. There were two areas where the ball didn't bounce. We called the game off. That's absolutely ludicrous. Ludicrous. Now,
how big were the areas, Chris? Were they big areas or just sort of little patches?
Probably about 5 meters square. You know,
right.
So the simplest thing would be to sand them. Surely there's got to be some sand somewhere, and just get the game on. In cricket, there is an actual thing. In club cricket, it's called get the game on. So you do everything you can within safety reasons to get the game on. Well, you might have a wet ball, you know, but in football, there's no problem about a wet ball. And if a ball doesn't bounce in a couple of areas of a pitch, it's not going to change the course of a game, surely. So referees, I think, have to be a little bit less precious. I understand that I have a duty of care, player safety. You know, people, particularly part-time players who they need to be able to work, and if they get injured and can't work, there's a problem. But some of the postponements this season have been mind-boggling. So that has to stop. There should be a real focus on getting the game on. So there's that. There is top-loading the fixtures and also bring the other leagues in line with the National League and start the first Saturday in August.
I mean, like at step three, we've got, I think, I'll just grab paper and have a look. If you have a look at the... Right, why's the page never open on the one you want it to? You look at the Isthmian League, for example, for us down here, there's 22 clubs in that division. There's 20 clubs at step four. Do they need to be playing 42 league games at step three on top of the FA Cup, the FA Trophy? You know, are they contributing to the amount of postponements there can be by having too many clubs per division?
Yeah, but then you're going to have to create other leagues for clubs to go into, which will then complicate the promotion and relegation issues.
There is. So has their way of wanting to have a perfect pyramid where the top steps one and two play 46 games, step three play 42 games, step four play 38 games, and so on, just by creating that, have they caused some of the problem because nothing else has disappeared? I.e., there's no FA Cup, less games, there's no FA Trophy, less games, there's no Senior Cup, less games, there's no John Fred and Bob Harry Cup games that have reduced, but we've increased the amount of league games. So has that not just added to the problem rather than because they want this perfect pyramid?
I don't know. I think we've just been really unfortunate this year with the weather.
Yeah.
But we have had postponements in other seasons. And was it Concord last year?
Same
sort of issue. So it is happening to certain clubs. I think the leagues are fine as it is, because I think the Isthmian League's great league as it is with 22 teams in it.
It is.
Yeah.
All those Trident leagues.
Chris. The simplest way, as you said, Pete, top load, August, September, October. It's just common sense, isn't it? Really?
It is.
Like we said previously as well, some of the cup, like the county cups or whatever cup competitions you have, use them as pre-season to make pre-season a little bit more competitive. Not that you really, you're not going to go hell for leather, but get those games done. There's particularly, the three national leagues, they are kind of professional. Pitchers are generally better. So the numbers are right there. And generally, they've got it right. There's been Gateshead, Halifax. But Gateshead were one of the ones who were very unfortunate last week when they were supposed to play Aldershot, So it's been an unprecedented winter. I think you have to try and think that this winter is like going to be a bit more of the norm of what you're going to get in terms of rainfall. So top load, August, September, October. It's easy done. Players are fresh. They've had a summer break.
Yeah.
You could even potentially try to fit in if you're top load, you could try to have a winter break where you'd have a Saturday off in January. When you've had your Christmas period and it's been busy, have a Saturday off in January.
Chris, that'll be the driest Saturday in January in living memory.
But then it could also be an avenue where if you have had any postponements for FA Trophy or FA Vars, you could play a game.
You could slot it in, yeah. I mean, I've thought as well that, cup competitions, whatever they are, league cups or whatever you're playing, stick them in after Christmas. If they're postponed and go to the next week, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect the 6-game season. It means you're going to be playing maybe 3 cup games in a week come this time of year instead of trying to, in Gateshead's case and Halifax's, cramming league games in to try and get a playoff place.
If I remember rightly, last season, South Shields had played, and again, remembering that it was a Trident League, which starts later, I do believe South Shields had played almost 26, 27 games by Christmas, New Year. I could be wrong, but something in my head tells me that. But it's not difficult, because even then it wasn't top-loaded too much.
Go on, Chris.
Yeah, I was going to say, Pete's right, top load. And for me, referees have to be a bit more sensible, a bit more savvy. And if players and management are happy to play, let them play.
I think, and just one more final point on that as well, is obviously these pitch inspections that are either not taking place or they're taking place when the travelling side, well, not the travelling team, the travelling fans have already left. And then we're wasting money in an age where money's tight for everybody. People are budgeting to make a game, and chances are those fans are not going to make the rearranged game a week or so later because they haven't got the money to.
That's correct. Last week, Gateshead, Aldershot. I mean, I showed you, didn't I, on our chat group, the Spine Road in Blyth under 4 feet of water from that afternoon. And Gateshead's not a million miles away from there. And it was postponed. I think actually Gateshead wanted to still play. I think it was Aldershot who didn't want to play. Don't quote me on that.
There was a couple of stories going around with both sides, I think, trying to blame each other.
There was, I think Aldershot was staying overnight as well, so there was talk that might not play it the next day. After they'd stayed overnight and then travel back that day. But like I say, there was a footage of a pitch inspection. I don't know if that was actually one of them. Anyway, where a ball didn't bounce in a couple of areas, it was just silly. You know, the pitches that I played on, good grief, the ploughed fields.
Halifax has looked like a plough field during the week. They still couldn't play
on it.
This is the thing, you watch the big, you know, on ITV4, they repeat some games on Sunday, like the big match. And you look at some of those pitches and you're like, they wouldn't even dream of playing on them now. And you're like, why not? No, it's a great level.
Absolutely. Let's hope over the summer they're having a little bit of a working party getting together and trying to iron out some of these issues. I mean, one very last thing on it. I did see about 4 weeks ago with an interview in the non-league paper that the FA encouraged leagues to front load. Mm. From what I can see, not one of them took up that option or idea, which then suggests that the FA are quite happy with the levels they've got in leagues, as Pete said. And, you know, maybe they've got to take a little rap on the knuckles for causing Gateshead to be playing four times in a week, Truro five times in 7 days, and Cone 25 games in 21 days, or something silly like that. I lost track of where they got to.
But thankfully, the Northern League, they've been granted an extension. Yes. So they've been told that as long as their league fixtures and playoffs are complete, I think it's either May the 11th or May the 20th. I can't quite remember exactly, but they've been granted May the 11th.
Yeah.
So they've been granted, therefore, another 3 to 4 weeks to get the games played. That's common sense. That's very welcome.
Brilliant stuff. Right. Let's move on and have a chat about Worthing South Shields and Barnet, shall we? As Pete's now with us in the room, we can...
Sorry about that, chaps.
That's quite all right. Do not worry. At least you're here. There are two missing participants.
Well, I've had to download Zoom to my phone.
I know it is. Anyway, Pete, Worthing are suddenly in some fantastic form again, aren't they? At just the right time.
Five in a row. Can't beat it, mate. I'm
brilliant. What's changed?
Nothing. I think the three games we lost before this run, we hit the bar and the post like seven times. we just couldn't seem to put the ball in the net those games. But we're over 100 league goals now. It's all coming together nicely. I think Aaron's doing a fantastic job in difficult circumstances. It's all just sort of clicking at the moment. Bring on the playoffs, I say.
I was just saying to Chris earlier when we were having a run through the three divisions that yourselves and Maidstone look the best sides in the run of form at the moment, but you can't rule out Braintree and Chelmsford either.
Yeah, Chelmsford would be my biggest fear. Maidstone, they lost on a Saturday.
Yeah, to Truro,
which has put us into third, so we've still got a chance of that second spot. Which would guarantee if we won the semi-final, we'd have a home playoff final. So we're hoping Chelmsford slip up on Saturday. Fingers crossed, everything crossed.
But it'd be nice. And I haven't done the commentator's curse on you, Pete.
He hasn't. No. No, we steered away from that.
I haven't predicted. Yeah.
But if we, like say, if we can get that second or third spot, it's obviously one less playoff game, which is advantageous as well, because whoever we play in the semi-final will have had a midweek game. So, yeah, it's all to play for. And I want to go up there.
It'd be interesting if you do.
But the thing is, like I said, I think I said it on the last one, didn't I, that you know, is it the right time for Worthing to go up, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
But I'm now at a thinking, if you're going to think like that, are you ever going to think your club's at that level where they can compete? So the tables don't lie. If you get in that position, you're in football to win games. So if you get promoted, suck it up and see where the journey takes you.
Absolutely. Well, we're in, you're in. Chris, are you getting in?
Ooh, no comment. I'm not going to curse anything. Well, what I am going to say is that we will win on Saturday And it's up to the other games, isn't it? Like we said before, you know, Boston, Hereford. Mm. What a mouth-watering game that is. We have to just make sure that we do the business, and I'm quite sure we will. We owe Southport one after we were beaten 1-0 in the league there earlier this season when we should have won probably 6-0. I'm confident that Shields will win on Saturday, so it just depends on the other games. One thing I'm delighted with is that we went to Tamworth on Saturday. Obviously, Tamworth are league champions. People were thinking, oh, they're going to be on the beach. They're going to be on the beach. They weren't. Tamworth are too good and too well organised for that. I thought we'd give a really good account of ourselves down there. I thought we were the better side, but it was clear, you know, how and why they have won the league. It was clear after 5 minutes. I thought we really gave a good account of ourselves. We came back from 2-0 down because momentum was with us. We were top of the form league and we came back well. I was really, really pleased with how we played. But for one or two mistakes, we would have got at least a point, possibly three. But I'm confident that we will win. I'm not going to predict that we're going to be in the playoffs. All I'm going to say is we're going to win on Saturday and let's see what other results happen.
Yeah, are Boston playing midweek because they've got a game in hand?
Yeah, they're playing Banbury. So you've got to see they're going to get 3 points. I mean, if they just get a point, it's in Shields' hands again. But I can't see Banbury doing anything against Boston.
It'll be a twitchy bum last day for you, Chris.
It's not going to be twitchy bum because I'm looking forward to a good day's football, a good day out again. It should be, after the accident as well, it'd be nice to see the faces of some of the injured party from the road accident. So I think it'll have a little bit of a feel-good factor on Saturday. And whatever happens, happens. And it's been a great season. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the National League North. Whatever happens, we'll be at least at that level again next season and bring it on.
Well, we've got a nice dead rubber against Kidderminster on Saturday, because we're in. So it doesn't matter.
You're in.
Simple as that. Simple as that. We're going to finish second or third. I'll put money on us finishing second, to be honest. And be interesting a bit to see what Dean does at the weekend, whether we rotate anybody, because obviously we don't feature in the eliminators during the week, so we won't feature till the following weekend. But we'd have had a full 3 week off this week as well. We were missing three or four through injury at Halifax at the weekend, which didn't make any difference. We picked up 3 points there, or should I say, at Accrington. But he's got the opportunity to leave one or two out next weekend to make sure they're fit enough for the week after. And then it'd be all eyes on the middle of the week to see who's going to venture to the Hive and try and stop us going three chief stops down the line to Wembley.
Bev, I want to play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
Dave Barnett, you know, don't get promoted.
Yeah.
Will Dean Brennan be at the Hive next season?
Well, he's got 2 years left on his contract. So if anybody wants to make Tony an offer to buy him out, they're more than welcome.
He's done such a phenomenal job.
Yeah, he'll be in demand. No doubt about that. And, no different to Hinch at Worthing. You do well, people notice you, people want you because you can implement a style of play that brings the football club together and makes it successful. So I would say yes, unless he gets a really good offer. I know he's had offers this year and they've turned them down at various clubs. I'm not obviously going to name them. But, you know, again, a good offer comes in. The offers don't come around all the time. At a point, you've got to take one. But because he has his outside interests as well as outside business interests that do well for him, I think that sways a little bit in his favour that he's not too far from home where he is now. Somewhere that's well over a couple of hours distance, I don't think would interest him. So it would have to be somewhere, I think, kind of fairly localish. But, you know, if he wants to go, he's deserved it. He's turned the club around in 2 years.
If you look at what has happened at Gateshead. Mike Williamson got his job in the Football League.
Yeah.
Rob Elliott's took over and carried on. If you look at Worthing, Adam got his job in the National League, and now Aaron and the team are carrying it on. So it's almost like a symmetry there again. And probably the same would happen at Barnet because Dean's had it so well organised. It would be a good continuity. I believe you're going to. I'm not going to put commentator's curse on you guys, but I would say you've got every chance.
Absolutely. I think it'd be more disappointing this year if we don't. I mean, we've scored 87 goals, I think. And yet we've missed hatfuls of chances. We aren't anywhere near as clinical as we should be. We probably should be sitting on another 20 to 30 goals this year, the amount of chances we've missed. And that would have put us in a shoe race with Chesterfield the entire way. That's been the difference.
Who do you fear in the playoffs then, Trev? Who would you like to avoid?
Well, everyone says Gateshead because of the way they play. I didn't see them when they came to the Hive, and obviously Gateshead's just a little bit too far from down here to go up there. That's the side most people fear. I've seen us against Solihull, both games. They've got a good midfield, but I think over a one-off game, and we're at the Hive, and we'd limit the away support as well. So we'd use the big stand behind the goal. But a lot of home fans, as we did last year against Boreham Wood as well. I think a one-off game, we'd chuck everything at it. If we've got everyone fit in 2 weeks' time, then pound for pound, I don't think there are many sides that can go toe-to-toe with us, not even Bromley. The two games we played against them in the last month, we've been missing key players in both games. So probably Gateshead for the way they play. Beyond that, I think we've got enough in the tank. We really have to change a formation, to switch it around during the game, and make it to Wembley. But, you know, I don't think in a playoff game, I don't think we'll get a better chance than this year with just 90 minutes, you know, to make it. So we've got to make it count. I think. Simple as that.
Yeah. Gateshead are winning 2-1 at the moment against Chesterfield.
Oh, Chesterfield have come off the beach and scored. Hallelujah. Mm. Right, let's start to wrap up. Has anyone got any shout-outs to anybody at all anywhere?
Southend, what a season they've had to be in eight.
15 unbeaten currently.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Absolutely
incredible by them, you know. But did they have one substitute, one match?
That was literally it.
I think it's an incredible achievement by Southend to currently in eighth. I think that's deserves a round of applause.
Brilliant. Chris?
Yeah, I know we didn't want to mention every club that's won a title or already, but I'm going to shout out Radcliffe because they've managed to win the Northern Premier League on a budget that is smaller than one or two other clubs in that league when you consider Macclesfield. To have won the title the way they have, it's great. It's going to be great to go back to Radcliffe again next season if South Shields are still in the National League North, that is. Good people.
Well, they're not going to put you in a safe, are they?
No, but hey, Steelers don't get in the playoffs, and
true, I know,
you know. But it's Bernard and Jono, I think it's their sixth promotion, I think,
something like that.
So it's massive for Radcliffe. It's at least another northern club in the National League North, because next season it's going to be very southern again when you look at perhaps Kidderminster and Oxford City.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they're definitely the prime candidates to go in the National League North.
Absolutely.
There's no escaping that, I don't think, for either.
No, there's not. There's not.
I've got a couple. And as you said, I know we weren't going to mention sides that won titles as well, but Deal Town won the Southern Counties East title to move to step four for the first time in their history. 1,442, I think it was, on Saturday as they beat Lyd. And then going one better than that, the title race in the Isthmian Southeast between Cray Valley and Ramsgate. Cray Valley were two up with 5 minutes to go and ended up drawing 2-2. So Ramsgate hold the lead on goal difference with Cray Valley having a game in hand. And I think if I worked it out right the other day, there is literally one goal between them at the moment. They're locked on 86 points. 2,563 were watching a Step 4 game this weekend.
Wow. Fantastic.
And that was bigger than six National League clubs on Saturday afternoon.
Mm.
Amazing.
Brilliant to hear.
Absolutely amazing. Right, last weekend of the season. Where are you Saturday, Chris?
I'm at South Shields versus Southport. Can't wait.
Pete?
I might go to Woodside Road to watch Worthing against Western Supermare.
That's a bit of a nothing game, isn't it? You're already in.
Well, hopefully they're already on the beach, literally.
Yeah, or the pier.
No, we still won that second place. So, yeah, there's a lot on it. Got to keep, you know, the ball's in our court.
Is it going to be an afternoon of microphone in one hand, phone in the other, so you can see how everyone else is getting on or not?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be keeping my eye on the chances, Scott. But we have got a chap on Rebel Yellow that he posts the scoring throughout the afternoon. We call him our video printer.
Is that James? Is that James Easton?
No.
Oh. Well, he can't be a game that often these days. So I wondered if it was him doing a service.
I know. Fancy missing the end of the season.
Shocking, isn't it? I mean, what timing? What timing? Honestly.
Yeah, I can't get my head around it, but there you go.
Amateurish.
Very, 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 very part-time.
You said it, Chris.
Trev, where are you going?
I don't know yet. I'm heading to Wiccan East Preston on Tuesday night, which is obviously quite local. I was at New Haven and Stenning on Saturday, which put Stenning one win away from the Southern Combination Premier Division, 504 there as well at Step 5, which was second against first. And Saturday, I haven't made my mind up. I'm not going to head to the Hive for the dead brother, especially not for 12:15 kickoff either. That's like me leaving about 9 o'clock in the morning for that. So I'm going to have a scout through the non-league paper the next couple of days, and I may stick a poll up on Twitter and pick four games and go, right, you pick where I'm going this week. So, but I want to watch a game where there's something on it. There's promotion points, relegation issues, or people are chasing playoff places rather than just going to watch a game for the sake of it. There's plenty out there. It's where to go. Chichester and Ramsgate might be a very good call, although the playoff places have been decided in that division as well, including Chichester are in it. If they can take points off of Ramsgate tomorrow and on Saturday, and Cray Valley beat Herne Bay, that gives them a little extra edge before their midweek game. But everyone have a follow on my Twitter page at TrevK37. I'll make sure the poll's up for a whole week or as many days as I can stick it up for, so you can stick your vote in there on Friday evening or Saturday morning. So might be a slight twist for me about 10 o'clock in the morning. I could be aiming the car in one direction and going in another.
So Trev, you don't fancy Taunton Torquay tomorrow night, because that is absolutely huge.
That's a massive game, isn't it? So is Truro and Eastbourne. Truro and Eastbourne as well, yeah. Yeah, either or. You know, if I was full time football writing, I probably would have gone and taken in one of those games probably, or something like that, to be fair. But because I'm not, and I'm back at work tomorrow after a week off as well, I can't. So we'll have to go for what it is. Right, that's it from us for this evening. Thank you everyone for listening and tuning in. Share the pod around, get another non-league listener putting our fingers up and everything. Want to get in touch with us at the PNLP on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. And Threads as well, I think, are on that. Are we?
I'm not sure. I haven't been on Threads since the first day it came on.
I keep forgetting as well. But if we're on Threads, someone go and tell us. It saves us having a look then. Anyway, that's it for us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. So hopefully we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. So it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
And good night from me.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.